Now, the Monday after the holiday weekend edition of Mr. Irrelevant, I'm Alex Stroph with you from the Gruber Law Offices, One Call That's All Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee. Producer Tiny Hands, Hunter Vaughn, back at the Everlight Solar Studio in beautiful downtown Madison. Mr. Irrelevant, presented by Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, and award-winning spirits. Hope everybody had a fun holiday weekend. Everybody kept their extremities. Hunter, were you playing with fireworks at all? Did you end up playing with fireworks?
I didn't. I said it on the last show. Yeah, I'm not gonna play around with fireworks a whole lot. Did that enough when I was a teenager, and I'm shocked that I still have all my fingers.
All right, good. I'm glad you do have all your fingers, as do I. All 10 are right here. Didn't light any. I don't even know that I saw a firework this weekend after further thought. I was at Summerfest Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They did fireworks the first night of Summerfest. I think that was June 27th or whatever the date on that was. But they didn't do any this weekend. So I actually don't think I saw a firework this weekend, which might be the first time that's happened in my life in the 4th of July weekend. But first off, the fourth landing on a Thursday is prime. Prime positioning. It was a big, long weekend. Had Friday off outside of, I hopped on the Tory Lowe show on 101.7 The Truth for the Tory Lowe birthday extravaganza. And then Saturday we had Joshy DiMaggio, Tony Cartagena, and myself. We did a show, Summerfest Saturday from the final day of Summerfest. But otherwise, the weekend was off. Had a few drinks. Had a cherry brandy old fashioned from Door County. Still actually had a couple this weekend as well. So it was a good weekend. A lot of fun time. I got a little bit of a tan. You might be able to see if you're watching the video stream. A little red today. I don't know if I'm burnt or just tan. So I guess we'll figure that out by Wednesday. But overall, it was a good weekend. No theatrics in the sports world. No drama. Like, the biggest stories of the weekend were what? Bronny James playing in Summer League. The Brewers have an off day today, but they played the Dodgers over the weekend. Didn't go as well as maybe you'd like, but it didn't go as poorly as maybe you expected either, Hunter, for the Brewers. They lose the first two and then win yesterday 9-2, the final. So they go 1-2. It's okay. It's better than getting swept, I guess.
Yeah, that was honestly kind of what I expected from them against the Dodgers. It'd just be nice if you're scoring five runs that you can win a baseball game. Like, they got to figure out pitching. I just want to circle back to the Bronny stuff. Dude scored 4 points, and the lead on ESPN was the fact that he crossed over a guy and got an open mid-range jumper for one of his baskets. And like, the way that the push notification came through on my phone, because for some reason they felt I needed a push notification for Summer League basketball, was that he embarrassed this guy and broke his ankles. And then I watch it and I'm like, cool, I see that 50 times a night in the NBA. That was an average play. Like, is this what this is going to be?
Yes. The answer is yes.
I hate it.
This is what this is going to be. But I will say I echo and understand your frustrations, but get used to it, right? Like, it's LeBron James' son, you know? And the worst part about it is he is in the second largest media market in the country, LA, which is one of the two that, you know, national outlets hyperfixate on, right? Because most of the teams are there and the superstars are there and the biggest personalities are there. So LeBronny ends up in LA with LeBron. Anything he does is going to be magnified 100 times because it's his kid and they're on the same team technically, obviously not for the summer league portions that Bronny will be participating in with, in over the course of the next few weeks. But yeah, get used to it. It is what it is, man. He had 4 points. You know, Dalton Connect, who's his teammate, he looked really good. The first round pick out of Tennessee, who I talked about the week of the NBA draft, who I'm a big fan of and excited to see what he's able to do. But yeah, Bronny James, 4 points in Summer League and crossed a dude over for mid-range. That's what you get. No news, which I still think is good news when it comes to the Jordan Love impending contract extension. Love, obviously, you know, coming up on mid next week is when he will have to report for training camp coming up next week in Green Bay. He's got a football camp Tuesday here in the Milwaukee area, and then Wednesday is when quarterbacks, injured players, select veterans, and rookies report for training camp, which starts 2 weeks from today. And I that's when they're going to get the deal done. You know, I think it's Jason Wilde that said it the most, but Mark Murphy in his final shareholders meeting, which will happen the same day as training camp opens, would love nothing more than to open the press conference and his statement at the shareholders meeting with, hey, we've signed an extension with our franchise quarterback. I would imagine sometime that morning is maybe when the news comes through. It might be the weekend prior, which is not this weekend, but the following. But this will get done. But with the holiday being over and vacations coming to an end, a lot of people are speculating that this will be the week that something gets done. And this will be the week that contract talks heat up. Adam Schefter appeared on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, as he does every single week this morning on 94.5 ESPN Milwaukee. Gabe Knights will ask him flat out, is Love Watch underway? Here's what Adam Schefter had to say on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy on ESPN Milwaukee.
Is Jordan Love contract watch officially on?
I guess it is, Gabe. I think you could delay it about 1 week. I think we get about another week of peace. Now, could something happen? Sure, that always could. But that's not what I'm expecting. And again, the world is full of surprises. But I think we have one more week of peace and quiet and late night summer walks and going for ice cream before we have to worry about Jordan Love's contract. That's my sense of things. I could be proven wrong, but I think that this is not the week for that right now. Right now. And we could start that watch officially, I believe, next week.
That Adam Schefter on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. We think we can officially start the watch next week when we will be 1 week away from training camp. Training camp starts July 22nd, as I mentioned, 2 weeks from today. The Packers will be wrapping up practice about 2 weeks from right now. 10:30 a.m. is when it begins. It's just past 12:30 here in the Central Time Zone if you're watching elsewhere as a Packers fan. That is when Adam Schefter believes things will really heat up. And I've talked about this football camp going on in Milwaukee for the last couple of weeks because I do view that as a prime date, right? It's fun because it also lands on the Dells are open for ESPN Milwaukee, our annual golf outing, same day, next Tuesday, which is fun. I enjoy that. But the next day is when he reports to training camp, and that's kind of your gap, right? Between Wednesday and Monday, when training camp begins of next week, that's really your timeline to keep an eye on. And look, I've said for I don't even know how long at this point. I'm not worried about it. I'm not worried about getting a deal done. I'm not worried about this dragging into training camp. My tune has not changed. If we get to July 21st, that's Sunday before, that's when I'll be a little irritated or wondering, huh, I wonder how far away they truly are. I imagine they're not super close. And by super close, I mean probably a separation of $5 million or more. I would guess the Packers are offering low 50s. Jordan Love and his camp want high 50s. They want to be the highest paid quarterback from an annual perspective, the highest paid quarterback in the league. And you don't often get the opportunity to pay based on potential. But this is one of those opportunities where you are, right? You only have 1 year of a resume and only half a year of a really good resume to pay Jordan Love off of. But you're hoping that that half of year that ended the Packers season, where Jordan Love was spectacular and terrific and immaculate or whatever words you want to use to describe it, that is going to be when, you know, things really that is what's going to really make this price point really interesting to see how it comes together. But at the end of the day, he deserves to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. He's going to be the highest paid quarterback in the league. And that's that, right, Hunter? I think it's as simple as that, as it stands 2 weeks away from training camp.
Yeah, I think so. And I've started to wonder if maybe there's a chance that the difference in dollar amount then gets taken care of off of the length of the contract. So maybe this actually ends up being like a 3-year deal or something instead of a 4-year, or instead of a 5, so. It's a 4. Like, I'm just wondering if maybe that's a concession that Jordan Love will have to make in order to get that dollar amount, where the Packers are like, okay, let's shorten this then. If we aren't maybe that we're at 99% sure you're everything we think you are, let's take a year off of it so then it lessens their long-term burden in case, for whatever reason, he's not the guy. No. I don't think he is, but I'm just saying, like, I think that might be what happens.
So I think there's two parts to this. Number one is, as the player, you would want a shorter-term contract. However, the other thing that because obviously, right, the market is only going to go up. So if he signs a, let's say, $56 million, let's just say a 3-year deal to use your example, when that contract comes to an end in a few years and you get back into the renegotiating period, all of a sudden, if he's playing well and he's playing at that level, he's probably like a $64, $65 million guy in 3 years. So he would prefer the shorter term. But the other part of this is the guaranteed money is probably more what this deal is about than the per year dollar sign, if that makes sense. Because if he signs a, let's say, a 4 or 5 year deal, which is where I think we all kind of expect this to land, if it's $175 million guaranteed, great, right? That's generational wealth. So I wonder, right? Like, neither you or I are in the room, but I would guess Love would love to be, no pun intended, somewhere in the 3 to 4 range, and the Packers would probably like him to be in like the 6 year range. I don't think they'd go to the 10 year that Patrick Mahomes got in Kansas City, but that's probably where he wants to operate. So we will see. We're almost done talking about the potential of the contract. We're almost to the point of actually talking about the contract. I can't wait for that. I also can't wait for the start of training camp. We are 2 weeks away as of today. July 22nd, as I mentioned, is the first practice for the Green Bay Packers as they get it 2 days early, right? Most training camps will open later that week. They get to go 2 days early because they start their season 2 days early. They start that Friday in Brazil. So the NFL shifts their start date 2 days forward, unlike pretty much the rest of the league can start that Wednesday, the 24th. I love that it's starting on a Monday, first off. That's something that typically doesn't happen. It's usually the middle of the week. It's a Wednesday or a Thursday when training camp typically begins. A Monday is fun. You start your work week with scrolling Twitter and reading from the reporters that are on site there. What's going on at training camp? I'm going to be up there for the first training camp day. And I said it last week on the show. I don't remember the last time I was in my hometown of Green Bay for a training camp practice. I went all the time as a kid. I was never a bike kid. I never brought my bike, but I my parents would drop me off with like my friends from middle school, and we'd walk up to practice and try to get a spot in the bleachers. So this will be the first time in a long time I'm able to get back up to Green Bay to check out a training camp practice. So I'm excited for that. But the fact that starts to kick off a work week is fun. The part that, you know, you get a first look at the rookies is so fun. And like, I said it to my friends this weekend at Summerfest as it wrapped up. I attended all 9 days. After the ninth day, I looked at everybody I was with. I said, hey, summer's over. Like, football season's here, baby. Like, we got less than 2 weeks until training camp begins. Summer's over. It's go time. It's time to get irrational about some of these rookies. And I can already tell. I will already tell you the one guy I'm going to be all over the moon about is Javon Bullard, the safety out of Georgia. That's the guy I can already tell. He's going to do one thing that first week of training camp, and I'm going to overreact to it. So, I don't know. There's always that training camp darling. I think Javon Bullard's going to be that this year for the Green Bay Packers. All right, we'll do this. We'll take a break. When we come back, Alec Ingold, the former Wisconsin Badger, joins us. Currently the fullback with the Miami Dolphins. Pretty good offense down there in Miami. Some comparisons being drawn between the Packers and the Dolphins. We'll dive into that. We'll cover the Ingold Family Foundation. He's got a football camp coming up later this week in Green Bay, both of our hometowns. So we're going to dive into that as well with Alec Ingold. But first, got to tell you about Door County Distillery, locally produced, handcrafted, and award-winning spirits made locally in Door County. You can check them out at doorcountydistillery.com. Find the retail Taylor nearest you. We take a 60-second break. When we return, Alec Ingold, the fullback for the Miami Dolphins, joins us. It's Mr. Irrelevant. I'm Alex Strofe. I'm back at the great Door County Distillery here in Carlsbad with my friend Rob from Door County Distillery. We're making, it seems like a summer drink here, Rob, a cherry Cosmo.
Exactly. Just our twist on a regular Cosmo. Obviously Door County, so have to stick some cherry into it.
I have to stick some cherry into it with the cherry vodka from Door County Distillery, made with local cherries, right?
Yep, made with the Montmorency cherries we're known for here in Door County.
I love it. Let's get to it. What do we got to do?
All right. So first, obviously the cherry vodka. We're going to add 3 ounces of that. Next, we'll go to triple sec. 1 ounce of that.
Need it for a Cosmo.
This is actually just cranberry juice. 1 ounce of that. Half an ounce of the lime.
The Boston Shake, I've learned.
Make sure it's, yep, ready to go.
That's such a cool little trick.
Shake it up. Shake it till you feel like it's shaking while we're on. Strainer.
I like that color. That looks like summer. Cherry Cosmo from Door County Distillery. Cheers, Rob.
Cheers.
Tastes like summer to me.
Visit doorcountydistillery.com to find the retailer nearest you, as well as a huge list of unique cocktail recipes. That's doorcountydistillery.com. Always always good, always a pleasure to catch up with somebody who shares the same hometown as me, and that's, of course, Green Bay, Wisconsin. This guy's done some really good things. Alec Ingold is now the fullback with the Miami Dolphins, spent a few years with the Raiders, and, of course, a former Wisconsin Badger. But the pride of Bayport, as I like to call him, and he's heading back to Bayport this Thursday to host his annual football camp at his alma mater. He joins us now on Mr. Relevant. Alec, coach, my guy, how are you, my friend? Always good to catch up with you.
Coach, it's been a good time, man. I'm glad that you were able to save the coach phrase. It's locker room talk. The boys are buzzing. Excited to do a lot of cool stuff. Yeah, like you said, back at Bayport. We're back home right now, doing it big. 4th of July was awesome. Summerfest was great. So we're enjoying the summer for sure.
So I did all 9 days of Summerfest, Alec. Who did you see at Summerfest? What day did you go? What did you think of the experience? Bring me into the Summerfest experience for Alec Ingold.
So my Summerfest experience was a little disconnected, a little bit. We went to the Kenny Chesney concert, American Family Field. I don't know if I'll ever not call it Miller Park. I'm sorry. Like, if that's a sponsor here, we're offending people. It's always going to be Miller Park to me. But we saw Kenny Chesney, Zach Brown Band, like 5 hours of music. It was unbelievable. Got to do that whole thing. So we didn't get down to the park to Summerfest, really. But Kenny Chesney in Milwaukee during the same time. I think we can call that close enough.
I'll give it to you. We might be offending people, but like, I'll give it to you. I'm fine with that. I don't think it's technically Summerfest, but you were in Milwaukee for a concert while Summerfest is happening. I'm fine calling it that, but glad you enjoyed. Did you get on a boat this weekend? July 4th, you're in Wisconsin. There's a bajillion lakes. I didn't get on a boat. That was my one big regret from the weekend. What about you?
No, I got on a boat. Yeah, you got to get on a boat. Pontoon boat specifically. You know, those are going to be the highest flyers. Tubing, I'm not allowed to tube. You know, I can't be risking anything. Can't be getting whiplash or anything like that. So I'm a really good spotter on the boat. Everyone else is having a lot of fun. Yeah. And I'm just witnessing everyone else have fun.
I love it. So we're a few weeks away from training camp, Alec. And it's always good to talk some ball with you because – look, I mean, you've carved out such an awesome career for yourself. You're the last of a dying breed of sorts in the NFL, right? Like, there's not a ton of teams that have fullbacks anymore, but you've found a really important and crucial role within a really good offense in Miami. How are we feeling ahead of the season? I mean, I'll just ask you that point blank because we saw what that offense was capable of a year ago, and now Tua's going to get likely a new contract. You've still got all the speed. You're going to be fully healthy from an offensive standpoint. Are you a part of the best offense in the league?
I think it's you got to make that transition from being exciting to just really dang good at football. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's kind of the hump we're on. I think every other team, whether you're just starting your window to win, whether you're at the end of your window to win, wherever you're kind of at in life, I think with us down in Miami, it's like, yeah, we're really exciting. We're like the new cool thing that everyone was you know, watching and looking at all last year, the last couple of years. And now it's like, how do you just get to that excellent point? How do you kind of cross all the T's, dot all the I's to make sure that you're playing the best ball possible so that at the end of the year you can look at the statistics and that can all be great. But also when you have that imposition on the field that you're really doing something special. So I think that's kind of that next step that we're taking as an offense.
Yeah, and Tua, of course, the same draft class as Green Bay's quarterback, Jordan Love. So this is still a young quarterback, albeit he has more experience starting in the league than Jordan Love. But he's still a young quarterback who's really trying to take that next step, get to that next pedestal from, like, a guy that seems like he's a franchise quarterback to a bona fide superstar. What's it like playing with a guy that's kind of on the precipice of that next step of greatness? And how do the guys rally around a guy like Tua down in Miami to really help him get to that next step?
Yeah, it's an exciting place to be at, right? Where you're really trending up and everybody's just, you know, like you said, rallying around yourself. The guys in the locker room, you want to take that next step. You want to do it together. You see the investment that we have on both sides of the ball. There's consistency from the coaching staff on the offensive side that you're able to say, okay, this is the playbook. We're really dialing in on all the details. You get to watch film of yourself playing playoff football, playing big time games, and how we can make those corrections to take that next step this next year. I don't think you can shortchange that experience. And I think that it all plays a part into, you know, that pursuit of excellence, that pursuit of greatness. It's a relentless chase. And I think it's an exciting time to be on the up and up, right? Like, you always kind of want to be chasing something and right towards that mountaintop. So I think that's where we're heading. That's the trajectory, man. It gets tough late in the year, but obviously that's something that we're all working towards to kind of be that excellent. Like, there's only one team at the end of the year that can say, you know, they did it, that they won the whole dang thing. So that's kind of how you approach this entire offseason, is that little thought in the back of your head pretty much every day. Like, how can I make sure that we're just being a little bit more accountable so we get that chance, January, February football, to be playing at your best?
I always draw so many comparisons on this show to the Dolphins offense and the Packers offense for obvious reasons, right? Mike McDaniel and Matt LaFleur, part of that same coaching tree. They came up in the league together. So I'm curious from your perspective. You're entering year three with McDaniel as the head coach in Miami, and obviously your third year as a Dolphin. What is the most surprising thing for you in this offense, Alec? Is there anything that really, when you really started to get involved, and now as you're a true veteran in this offense entering year three, is there anything that still pops off the page where you're like, whoa, that's cool, or that's different? Anything that surprises you from this offense?
Yeah, I think when you talk about what surprises you, like, 3 years into the whole system, you understand that there really is no limit to the creativity of it. Like, you understand the concepts, you understand the general, like, overarching aspect of this offense, and then you understand how customizable it can be to your skill set, to your team. I think that's where there's so many different teams across the NFL that are running similar systems now, right? Because they're able to tailor some of these concepts to their guys. You're able to constantly create. So every single week, you know, you look at us on week 8 versus week 10, it's going to look like a completely different scheme based on the defense that you're playing, right? And I thought that was going to end at some point, and you start to realize, like, it just doesn't end. Like, it's just a continuous cycle of learning, of growing, of creating offense. And I think that's what's super, super special about being in that room and in this playbook.
Yeah. I love that. I love that answer. Last thing in the NFL, because I always like nerding out for a few minutes on college football with you, Alec. But you've described your NFL career as kind of a whirlwind, right? You go undrafted. You spend 3 years with the Raiders. Now, yeah, you've been, as I mentioned, entering year three with the Dolphins. But something we haven't talked about, which happened a few months ago, was you participated in your first Pro Bowl, or Pro Bowl games, I think they're dubbed now. But you were selected as a Pro Bowler last season. How unbelievable is that, right? A kid that grows up in Green Bay, you play your ball at Bayport and are a great athlete there, and now all of a sudden you're entering year six in the NFL and you've got a Pro Bowl selection under your belt. Is it still kind of hard to comprehend that this is real life for Alec Ingold?
Yeah, Alex, I mean, I feel like the whole concept of that is, like, it's so far-fetched, and, like, I don't know when it'll sink in, but I don't really, you know, I don't think it would do myself or my team or this career any justice if you kind of, like, start to feel that, if that makes sense. Like, you just kind of want to keep your head down. Like, you're 5-6 years in, you've been doing it a certain way, you're kind of on this growth mindset. I know it's cliche, I know it's locker room talk, but that's seriously how I think you have to go about it. And then, you know, when we're up at Bayport running another camp, we get you up to do some live radio alongside of it, whatever we want to do. We're kicking up the feet. We're retired 10 years from now. Maybe we can talk about how crazy that Pro Bowl was last year. But until then, I think I'm just going to keep on chipping away at this thing, man.
Yeah, we can have a pop in a couple of years once this thing's all said and done, and we'll reflect. I mean, it's an amazing story, Alec. Let's talk a little college ball, and then we'll continue to talk about all the great things you're doing back at home and with the Ingold Family Foundation. This new look Big Ten is still really hard for me to get used to, dude. Right, like adding USC and UCLA and Washington and Oregon, and seeing some of those teams on the Badgers schedule on top of, by the way, an Alabama matchup at Camp Randall this upcoming season. The state of college football, while it's still an entertaining product, is just, to use the term we just used before, is such a whirlwind. It's the wild, wild west. It's insane. It's hard to wrap my head around. As a former Big Ten football player, are you kind of in the same boat as me, or are you looking back at it like, yeah, I know I didn't play in the age of NIL, but this is still, you know, as big as it gets for these 18 to 22 year olds?
I mean, I'm kind of excited about the future of the Big Ten. When you see all the changes happening, like, to me, I forget who brought it up. Maybe it was Tony Dungy or somebody was talking about how college football is going to turn into a pyramid scheme. Like, SEC is going to be at the top. Mid-majors are going to be in the middle. FCS is going to be at the bottom. And there's just going to be this relegation system, all that stuff. I mean, if you look at the Big Ten, you're at right with the SEC, right? There's not really a huge drop-off with that. So I mean, it makes a former Big Ten guy pretty proud. I get to have my locker neighbor, Javon Holland, an absolute legend, defensive back with the Oregon Ducks. Like, we get to have more banter now in the locker room because it's the first time that they're playing and it's not the Rose Bowl. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so all of those things are new and it's exciting. I think the Big Ten, Wisconsin in general, are doing well with the changes. Like, you're taking things in stride. But yeah, there's some places where it feels like the Wild West, and you kind of feel bad for some programs that, you know, just kind of getting swept away with all the changes that are happening.
Yeah, kind of chop liver, right, for some of those mid-majors especially. But, hey, Wisconsin and the way Fick and his staff have been recruiting the last couple of weeks, they're going to be in the running for this 12-team playoff over the course of the next few years. So I'm excited to see how it continues to evolve and change. But it seems like, you know, this Fickle move was the right one, right? Like, you got a guy that knows how to adapt to this ever-changing landscape that is college football, and certainly this offseason hitting the recruiting trail hard. So it's got to make you proud, I imagine, as an alum, that entering year two for Luke Fickle and his staff. They are they seemingly are on the right path, completely right path.
Yeah, you got a hype train, and then you also have, like, the guys behind it bringing the real juice, the day-to-day juice. Anybody that's a wrestling fan, and you know Coach Fick's background in wrestling, huge fan of that. Obviously, you just know you get a gritty guy that's going to do the work, do it the right way. You know, the legacy is going to take time, and that's only time will tell. But you got to be so excited for the first couple of years to see the foundation being laid. The vision is there. The changes are intentional. Like, let's go play ball, man. Let's go. Like, whoever's on the schedule, you know, Alabama, Oregon, all those guys. It's like, that's the exciting part about being a Badger alum right now. Wisconsin football fan in general is like, you get to see your boys go up against the best in the country and see how they stack up. Like, that's something I always wish, you know, you get that opportunity to go play a big time game against a big time opponent in college. Like, it doesn't get much better than that.
That's spoken like a true high school state champ wrestler, Alec. you nailed that. So big week for you, right? Like, Monday you get to hang out with me. Tuesday it's your birthday tomorrow. Happy early birthday. And then Thursday you've got the Green Bay football camp coming up at your alma mater in Bayport. And I know you've got another event going on next week in Madison, the Money Mini Camp with your foundation, the Ingold Family Foundation. You can find more info on that, alecingold.com/foundation. But tell me about these two events you've got coming up post birthday.
Yeah, man. Post-birthday, we're going to be celebrating by doing some physical health and also some financial health, right? So the Ingold Family Foundation, we work on mental, physical, financial, and emotional wellness. And two of those big things are football clinics, which we got at the alma mater, like you're talking about. Got about 400 kiddos signed up. Just going to be running around having an absolute blast. It's going to be a lot of fun. And then we do the financial health, the financial wellness, professional development skills right on UW's campus. Get a bunch of kids, high school aged, you know, just anybody that's interested, right? I think we're partnering with La Follette School District this year, being able to give those kids some sort of awareness of what financial literacy is, how to write a check, what a online checking looks like, when to get a credit card, what type of credit card to get, right? Like, all those questions, but then also giving them some information on how to get a job, how to shake somebody's hand, what an elevator pitch is, dressing for success. All those concepts are really huge for these high school kids before they graduate. So we're hitting a couple of them, man, after the birthday, physical health and wellness, as well as some financial stuff. So we're keeping on.
Dude, it is awesome to see everything you continue to accomplish, everything you do with the foundation and the way you give back to the local communities. It really is inspiring and so badass. So well done by you, and continue to do that stuff, man. I mean, I know how much of an impact you're making. Happy early birthday, my friend. I appreciate you jumping on with me for 15 minutes and catching up on everything. It's always a pleasure. It's an open invite policy for you, my man. Stay healthy. Have a great season if I don't talk to you before training camp, all right?
Yes, sir. Appreciate the opportunity. Have a great week, man. Have a great Monday. Finish strong. Let's go.
I will. Let's go. Let's have a great Monday. Alec Ingold, the Dolphins fullback, former Wisconsin Badger, the pride of Bayport. People forget I mentioned it, too. He's a Wisconsin State wrestling champ back in his high school wrestling days as well. So multiple sport athlete, which one of these days I got to get his thoughts on that, because coming from I did a lot of high school sports coverage during my 3.5 years. In Madison, there was a big topic we always talked about with high school coaches is be well-versed, play multiple sports. And Alec, entering his sixth year in the NFL and an NFL Pro Bowler, by the way, It's something important to him as well. But it's awesome to see everything he's doing. Again, the website is alecingold.com/foundation for more information on everything he does with the Ingold Family Foundation. So I was really curious, and you may have noticed right at the beginning of our conversation there with Alec, I was kind of comparing Green Bay and Miami and the offenses and Tua and Love, obviously being same draft class, trying to draw some of the comparisons, because obviously Alec hasn't played up close with Jordan Love, but he's playing with a dude in a very similar situation, right? A guy, you know, trying to get that next contract, trying to take that step into superstardom. I mean, personally, I think Jordan Love is certainly ahead of Tua when it comes to that. But Tua's playing in a really talented offense. When you have guys like Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle and Devon Achane and Raheem Mostert, who's a veteran savvy running back at this point, and of course, one of the best fullbacks in the league in Alec Ingold, you have a good opportunity to look like a superstar. And Tua's trying to take that next step. And I'm just so fascinated because remember, this Dolphins offense was an offense that went into Denver last year and scored 70 points, right? This is the same system that Green Bay is running, at least from a schematic standpoint, a fundamental standpoint. It's a similar offense. And so I'm always fascinated when Alec jumps on with me to kind of dive into the comparisons and into the whoa moments that he has in that offense, because you see the different things, and you saw it at the end of last season with the Packers. When Matt LaFleur opened that playbook and allowed Jordan Love to improvise and do what he does best, and those wide receivers were getting comfortable, you saw how great it could be, right? That's a team that scored 50 points in three quarters in a playoff game on the road against the Dallas Cowboys. Sorry to bring that up, Hunter. So I'm always curious, you know, to hear from Alec's perspective, who's the guy that plays in a similar offense, but not that offense, how, you know, it runs through his brain. So I always appreciate his insight on everything we dive into. You can get at me on Twizzler if you have any thoughts on that. At @Alex_Strofe, as you see on the screen. Pat Murphy always refers to Twitter as Twizzler, which I think is just hilarious. You know, the Brewers, we mentioned at the top that they dropped 2 of 3 at the Dodgers. And I hosted Brewers warm-up on Friday on 620 WTMJ before the first game of that series. And I viewed that series beforehand as kind of a defining moment. Like, understand where the Brewers are. They're not throwing out their best arms because they're all hurt or, you know, they're making trades and acquisitions for different pitchers. See where you are. They were scoring runs. They weren't winning games. They won yesterday 9-3 in order to avoid the sweep out in L.A. But the Dodgers and the Phillies are the two best teams in the National League. So to have a real understanding of where you stand here before the All-Star break, I think, is a crucial one. And I think that was the biggest series, or at least the most telling series, for the Brewers pre-All-Star break. And to not get swept, I think, is a good indication. I don't know that it makes you feel like they're going to win the World Series, but it kind of tells you, okay, they can hang in there. They can score runs against one of the best teams in baseball, and you know, that's good. I think we talked about this, or maybe this came out right after we jumped off the air last Wednesday, our final show of the 4th of July week. But Christian Yelich and William Contreras are both All-Star starters, and the reserves were announced. No more Brewers. Those are the only two Brewers that end up in the All-Star game. Christian Yelich and William Contreras. Contreras has been the best catcher in baseball this year. That one's not surprising. And Yelich has been on a heater. I think he's hit 3 home runs in the last 5 games. And he's completely, you know, kind of revitalized the superstardom. He's now 3rd All-Star selection. The previous two were in 2018 and 19. In 2018, of course, the year when Yelich won the MVP in the National League. So to see him back to that level after kind of 5 tough years, right? 4 tough years, really, where he just wasn't really Christian Yelich, is really good. And I hope that can continue into the second half of the season. But to have both of these guys back, well, Yelich back and Contreras up to the level in which they're playing at consistently is so crucial for this team's offense, because they need offense given some of the issues they're having on the mound, and not from a performance standpoint, from a health standpoint. So, but it's always cool when your favorite team gets 2 of the 10 starters in the MLB All-Star game. That means things are in a pretty darn good spot as it stands right now, Hunter.
Yeah, and this, I think, also reaffirms that Pat Murphy needs to be manager of the year. If things hold the way that they are, the number 3 team in the National League has 2 players playing in the All-Star game. Like, you need to have him be manager of the year. It has to happen. The Brewers need to finally break that streak of not having a manager of the year, because he's clearly the best manager in the National League. What he's been able to do with the lineups, what he's been able to just figure out with this pitching staff, and just like, you know what, we're going to figure it out. We're going to win games. I don't know how we're going to do it, and I don't know what the formula will be on Monday compared to Tuesday, compared to Wednesday, but we're going to figure it out every single time, and we're going to do what we need to do to win a game. And he has to be manager of the year. And these two are just so great. It'd be nice to see Willy Adames up there as well. I know his batting average Terang hasn't been great. Too. Yeah, Bryce Terang probably should have been.
I think is the snub.
Yes, Bryce Terang's the snub. I just wish Willy Adames, because then that lineup is, you're scoring close to double digit runs every single night. But I have a feeling Willy Adames will be wearing a different team's jersey. I don't think it'll be Frelick anymore. I think this might be. Yeah, I don't know. I could see either of them getting moved, but the fact that I've started, I saw the Journal Sentinel had an article about Willy Adames, and it literally said, if he gets traded, this is what you should know about him as a player. I think that Willy Adames is getting shopped around right now.
Interesting. You've always got theories, but we're coming up on it. We're 22 days away, so just over 3 weeks away from the MLB trade deadline, coming up on July 30th. I love this team, man. And I know we've said that a million times, just how fun they've been and how ridiculous, like this youth movement. I've compared them many times to the Green Bay Packers of last year. Now, the two guys that you're looking at on the screen are not technically a part of that youth movement. Those are the leaders in that clubhouse. And they are the all-stars in the clubhouse. But when you talk about a guy like Bryce Terang getting snubbed from the all-star game, I don't think any of us were expecting we're having that conversation 4 months ago. That Bryce Terang would be the guy, yeah, he's snubbed. You know, and he truly was, right? Like, the way Terang has played this year is certainly all-star worthy in my mind. So that was the one snub where I go, I would have liked to see him on there as a reserve. But overall, you're happy with two all-star starters. And just to go back on something Hunter said, Pat Murphy for manager of the year, I imagine he is very thoroughly in the conversation. I was surprised to learn, I think it was you that told me that a couple weeks ago, Hunter, that no Brewers manager has ever won that award. I figured Council has. But I remember now, like, after letting it sink in for a few days, we were just all pissed that he was snubbed a few times. Pat Murphy, I hope we're not in the same boat, because I hope it is. You know, and if they continue to play this way, I'd be hard pressed to find a dude with a better case than Pat Murphy, because Philly and LA, who are the two teams ahead in the NL standings, they were expected to be this good. I don't think anybody expected the Brewers to be this good and have this big of a lead in the NL Central as it stands right now on July 8th. So that's that. We wrap up the show, as we always do, with what we learned. And again, thanks to Alec Ingold for jumping on the birthday boy tomorrow for talking little Badgers, little Packers, little NFL at large, all sorts of stuff. If you missed any of that conversation on the live stream, you can rewind on YouTube, or you can find it shortly wherever you get your podcasts, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Wisconsin On Demand. Hunter, lead it off.
So Taylor Swift is obviously still doing her Eras tour. And the other night was her third night in Amsterdam, and Travis Kelce was there along with Patrick Mahomes and his wife, Brittany Mahomes. And this is what a lot of the Swifties assume is the last show that Travis is going to be able to see, because then the NFL season with training camp starting and everything else, he won't be able to make any of her other shows. So during the shows, Taylor does a mashup of three songs, and she does them either on the piano or with her acoustic guitar. And the three songs that she did in this mashup were Mary's Song, where she has a line, and she wrote this back when she was like 17, 18, of saying, I'll be 87, you'll be 89. So it's like an invisible thread to then Travis Kelce being number 87.
Okay, so hold on. Can we time out for just a second? Can you define invisible thread? Because I've heard that before and I don't know what it means.
It's just, it was a line that she wrote in a reference to like the birth years, and that like that's something that is meaningful to her. But then it also then is ties all the way to then the guy she is now dating wearing number 87. So it's like an unintentional connection that's kind of like these two things are connected, and she like obviously had no idea. So
an invisible thread.
Yes.
Do you and I have any of the invisible threads?
I have no idea.
Okay.
Like, you wouldn't know unless, like, there's no way of knowing that.
But you just said you know it about Taylor Swift, so there is ways of knowing it.
Yeah, but I don't write music and perform it. Like, very different. I'm almost done here.
Okay, continue. Sorry, I got distracted.
So, yeah, you did. Very easily. So she did Mary's song, then mash that up with So High School, a song that is specifically written about Travis, and then also had Everything Has Changed, which is a song about the first time she met somebody and how that changed her life, and that's within the song. So all three songs very specifically tailored to Travis, and there was video of fans showing him up in the box, like, openly crying. To the point where Brittany Mahomes had to go and, like, make sure that he was okay. And I just wanted to remind everyone in what we learned that we should celebrate when guys show emotions other than just, like, laughing or anger. And I wanted to celebrate.
Was it a good cry?
Well, yeah, it was a good cry. Now. Like, it's the woman that he loves, like, performing these songs in front of thousands of people for him. And it just hit him emotionally, and I just wanted to celebrate, like, hey, like, you can show emotions, and it's a great thing, and I just wanted to be another guy celebrating a guy showing emotions other than just, like, laughing or anger, which a lot of times is what ends up happening when we talk about emotions in other guys. So I was very proud of Travis Kelce for showing those emotions. So that was what I learned.
Do you think they're married? I think they're married.
I don't think yet. I think it's going to be next offseason. I think it's right at the tail end of the year. Maybe they get engaged. But I don't think they're engaged, even.
So, hold on. I think context is important here. You're married to a very big Swiftie.
A big Swiftie. My sister-in-law is a much bigger Swiftie, and then Sarah has become a big Swiftie. But this is something that I've kind of grown into then over the last year with this relationship, and wanted to just give a little bit of a window to fans into something that I enjoy outside of just, like, directly talking about football all the time.
Fair enough. I always love when Joshy DiMaggio perks his head up and puts on a headset.
So, oh, geez.
Said something that got Josh's attention. Joshy DiMaggio, producer of Jen, Gabe, and Chewy, weekday morning 7 to 9 on ESPN Milwaukee. Go ahead.
I had to turn off the mic there to make sure it wasn't going on over the air as normal. Good save by me. Hunter, I just want to say I'm disappointed in you. Not because you're talking Taylor Swift or the machismo thing, whatever. But in my life, I have to listen to Taylor Swift theories and the invisible string and all these things.
So do you know what? Hold on. Time out. Do you know what the invisible string is?
I know the theory.
I still don't get it, really?
It is connections that, it is things that connect people all throughout their life that you don't recognize that end up at the end, like, mattering.
Okay, basically. Got it.
I want to listen to my Mr. Irrelevant. I want to hear Strofe be an idiot. I don't want to. I can't avoid Taylor Swift, and I got you now, Hunter. I have to worry. You're on the list now of people I have to worry about.
Okay, this was like the second time in this show's history that I've talked about Taylor Swift. Okay? Like,
too many.
No. No, if it's a part of my life, I want to share parts of my life with the fans every now and again. It is when my wife is a very big fan of it as well, and it's something that I've gotten into. I've watched a number of the shows on TikTok with her as they've been live. So it is.
So maybe this is informative, and maybe I can take a lesson from you, because my life is inundated with all the exact same things. I just fight against them and run from them and hide from them.
No, use them as moments to enjoy things together. Honestly,
I went to a concert with her. That's enough.
Okay, but I'm just saying it. It has been a lot better if I've been enjoying something. Like, I don't really enjoy One Tree Hill. My wife loves One Tree Hill. Goes to the conventions that they have in Wilmington for it.
Conventions?
Yes, where the cast is there and everything. I'm not a big fan of it, but this was something that I could do with her, and we enjoy this together, and it's been great. Embrace it and have fun with it. So much better than trying to fight back.
Oh, okay. That's I will say, Joshy, Hunter's given me I've given him the relationship advice on the show. Hopefully he hasn't taken it. He's given me relationship advice on the show. It's always worked. I actually trust his judgment on this one.
It's
almost like the guy that has a wedding ring on knows how to like get a relationship that works or something.
I'm having a hard time refuting anything. And I think your message is great. But what do I do when I hate it? Because I don't hate Taylor Swift. I'm a fan of Taylor Swift. I think she's a brilliant musician,
I love just taking the backseat of my own show, guys. This is
then.
But, like, I've been forced to watch, here's Real Housewives of New York. It's on. Hunter, I wake up in the morning, it's on. We come home from walking the dog, it's on. We go to dinner, we come back, it's on. Taylor Swift, every time I get in a car, I have to hear it. Any sane person would go nuts. I like other music.
Yes.
I've never been a fan of something to the degree where I can just do the nonstop that Taylor Swift fans are able to do. I can't go that deep.
Then find your joy in it, in her joy. So get excited about the fact that she's excited about something. So it isn't necessarily you care about the content of it, but you're paying attention to her emotional response towards those things, and that's what you get excited about. So even though I am not a One Tree Hill fan, I get excited when Sarah is talking about One Tree Hill stuff or the fun things that she did while she was in Wilmington and meeting the cast members again and working the different events or when they do the charity game. And that's the stuff that then I get excited for her because I see her eyes light up talking about it. That's what you need to do.
Okay, so this is typically where I would tell you what I learned. I'm not telling you about what I learned anymore because I just learned something else. Joshie Hunter, this involves both of you. We often do power rankings in our line of work. Now, the power rankings I'm about to do are of emotional maturity. Okay? So we're going to start at number 3. I think it's Joshie.
What?
Yeah.
Number 2, I think it's me. And then I think there's a ginormous gap that we could spend the next 40 minutes until 2 o'clock talking about why Hunter is so much further ahead of us. And by the way, the humble brag of, hey, I'm the one with the wedding ring on. Great drop in by Hunter. He just cooked us. He cooked you. I had no part in that. I just took a back seat. Emotional maturity, Hunter's got us by miles and miles, Josh.
Yeah, I'm not going to argue that, but I could also argue that the way Hunter approaches it infantilizes people and doesn't actually.
Okay, now you're using a word I don't understand.
But we can say, hey, be happy, everyone, enjoy what you enjoy, but I don't talk about anything in my life as much as I hear about Taylor Swift. I don't talk about the Packers as much, and that's my job.
I don't know if that's accurate. Do you think you talk about Aaron Rodgers more?
No, I know I don't. I hear about fan theories every day. I don't talk about Aaron Rodgers every day.
You think they're married?
What?
You think they're married?
No, I don't. I think that would be near impossible for the Taylor Swift, as much as she likes to pretend to be private, all the stuff gets out.
Okay.
And it's through her team.
That's a fair point. I think they're married. I'm going to end this show on a rumor that I'm making up. Don't sue me. I think they're married. That does it for us today.
You can't get sued for that.
Isn't that libel?
No.
Oh, okay. If I said they are married, now that's slander.
No.
I have no idea.
There's nothing defamatory here by saying they're married.
Are you sure?
Yeah, positive.
No, you're incorrect. I don't know what happened in the last 15 minutes of the show, but I have tears in my eyes. That was well done by you fellas. Joshie DiMaggio, Hunter Vaughn, the two producers of this show. Joshie's not actually a producer. I just call him that because he sits in and eavesdrops. So I always love when he chimes in. And I set it up right. Like, there are some days nothing happens. Some days I'm on a roll, and Joshie loves listening to me on a roll. Now, that's slanderous.
That's incorrect.
But some days, something will just catch Joshie's ear. He'll pull out the headphones of whatever he was working on. He'll grab the microphone in front of him with a lot of, I don't want to say tension, but like there's a power
vigor
between the way. Vigor. I don't know if vigor is the right word either. But there is incredible, distinct, like, arm swing as he grabs the microphone. And you just know he's got to say something. And I have to get in his ear and I say, Joshie, hold on. Nobody knows you're here. Like, let me tell the people you're here. So that was good. That was fun.
And just to wrap it up here, when it comes to talking about,
do you just get the last word? Is that your decision?
I've had to listen to debates with anti-Swifties and my Swiftie in my house, and I've just walked out of it. Like, you have fun, you guys. You know
what Hunter's never done, and I bet he'll confirm this. Hunter, have you ever walked out of the room when a debate like that is happening? Because I bet you're jumping in, right?
Yeah, I'm gonna jump in, and I'm gonna help my wife defend her stance. Because I support my partner, because that's what I committed
Joshy and I are never gonna make it.
What do I need to defend her? She's a
all right, we're done. We're never gonna make it. A big thanks to Alec Ingold, thanks to Tiny Ants, Hunter Vaughn, thanks to Joshy. What the hell just happened? We're back with you Wednesday at 12:30. We'll talk to you then. It's Mr. Relevant. I'm Alex Strobe. Peace.